So I'm really hopeful that as I share today, I can help you through it, and you can know my heart, my posture towards bringing you along as a global messenger is so that the ultimate kingdom of God, the mission of Christ, can be done through the earth, through you, because I surely can't do it alone. So some of the things that I want to talk about today, logistical challenges, media and propaganda, and spiritual warfare.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise. It's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger. Hey everyone, excited to be back around this particular topic. It's going to be a good one. So if you have not already listened to the first part of this series, it's all about the obstacles and the trials and tribulations that messengers will face when they're on mission. We talked about cultural and linguistic barriers last time, opposition and persecution, and just ultimately resistance to change. And the next one that we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory on some trials and the ways in which these trials have been occurring in my life or have occurred, not constantly occurring, thank goodness, but that's from consecration. That's from literally giving it away. That's from surrendering. That's from saying, God, I can't do this on my own. You're so much more perfect. Your ways are so much higher. And yet, it doesn't mean that trials don't come our way. We know that they are a part of an element of promise with us being here on earth, but they are not eternal. And that part is a gift. And every time I walk through something, face the fire in any particular way, I get to utilize that as a weapon against the enemy when I've given that over to God and he has transformed it, he's made it new, and I can help others through that fight. And so I'm really hopeful that as I share today, I can help you through it and you can know my heart, my posture towards bringing you along as a global messenger is so that the ultimate kingdom of God, the mission of Christ, can be done through the earth, through you, because I surely can't do it alone. So some of the things that I want to talk about today, logistical challenges, media and propaganda, and spiritual warfare. Now, these are some deep things, and I will start with resources. I'll start with logistical challenges and even just locale, right? Like it could be traveling. I get always so frustrated when I'm like, oh my gosh, I have Mountain Standard Time, Central Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time. Where am I? What am I? What time of year is it? Is Arizona on board right now or not? And then we've got people just yesterday, we had people in from St. Kitts and Mexico, Bahamas. We've got people that come in from New Zealand on our calls. And so anyway, Australia, wherever they are in the world, I have to be conscientious of this issue. And it's not an issue because at the end of the day, we do what suits our schedules best, especially as mompreneurs, if you're a mama or a papapreneur, if you're a dad. But these are things that can inhibit people from being a part of what it is that you're working on. And so recognizing that, also knowing from a financial standpoint, this was a massive one. And I think, I don't know about you, but something as a small business that I still face with, I have to constantly lay down, especially when I have team members who I have to pay and families and that get paid before I get paid, which if you read things like Profit First, they would say is not the way that that works. But I put other people before I put myself in the forefront. And that's been the way that I've always done this business. And I won't change it, no matter what secular message it says. And so going back to some of the financial struggles that I've had in the past connected to business development, I've been an entrepreneur since I remember. I've never actually created a resume for anybody else other than my media kit to get featured in different magazines and TV and things like that. But I had that at the forefront of my why. So much so that at one point, I actually essentially finagled me to have my mom move out of a contract based on what they wanted me to do so that I could sign this 9-figure contract solely knowing that eventually I was going to give her what was going to come out of it. But man, I don't even like to say that out loud, but it was true. And so finances and that perfectionism and that striving and that American dream and that eagerness to have the best, the nicest, the fastest, the biggest, all of those things was definitely something that I was presented, you're presented every single day. And I got in that comparison trap and I got on that rat wheel. And I will tell you, it was wildly exhausting. And the logistical challenges of trying to put that at the forefront rather than Christ had me working 70-hour work weeks, had me dollar sign to dollar sign on my phone. Really, this was pre-social media really being a part of my life. And I was obsessed. I was hooked to the device for other reasons. And it put me in a state of unintegrity when it came to my marriage. It made me disloyal. It made me just that hunger inside of me that was thirsting really for the abundance of Christ. And I had no context to that. I wasn't walking in my faith at the time. And so now, fast forward, being walking with the Lord and having businesses and nonprofits and knowing that it takes funds and logistics and people and resources and so many things to manage and to bring to life that I don't look at it from a scarcity mentality anymore. And I look to it as an opportunity and that God is my provider. When He is your provider, He's the richest father you've ever had. You're a trust fund baby, right? Like literally you've got a trust fund at your right hand. Those treasure troves might not have access to yet. And that is because it's not meant for all of us to steward all the time. And the question ultimately goes back to, have you stewarded what you do have well? So going back to logistical challenges, it could be location, right? You could be stuck in a city. You could be trapped in a specific area or mentality. I could think of so many things that need fresh revision in your life simply because the current logistics are not working out. I also think about some of the things that people talk about, speed or timing. Timing is always a logistical challenge, especially for new authors, people who want to come in to write their books with us. And they're like, I just don't think it's the right time. I don't think I have enough time in this season. Money is also another objection, right? We hear about objections all the time when we're bringing people into our communities and how we're presenting that to them. And time is such a funny thing. It's like you look backwards and it like went so, so fast. But when you're in the midst of it, that day can feel like eons. It can feel so long. And I don't want to operate in that place. I want to operate in forethought of like, oh my gosh, what is the day going to bring today? And to know that every minute does count. Every present moment does count. In fact, I'm recording this episode and I just recorded this episode 30 minutes before and all of my internet went out and it didn't save anything. And I thought, oh, I could either throw in the towel and do this another time, but it's all fresh in my heart. It's fresh in my mind. And my nap can wait, right? So I decided now is the best time because this is the time the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it and know that I can sleep later and I just might be a little sleepy later. Anyway, in the midst of that, time is a treasure. Think about the logistical challenge that the Israelites had when they moved from Exodus, the logistical challenge of they didn't really have a home, right? They went from a comfort of having at least a place to rest their head that was the same every day. They had a meal on the table. And now, mind you, the meal was actually just another way for them to be in a cycle, a rat wheel that was confining by the Egyptians, because they fed them well so that, not because they were nice, so that they could be strong enough to be their slaves. So later, when they don't have that meat anymore and they're craving meat and they're like, why can't we just go back? It was so much better. Why would Moses lead us here into this wilderness? Why would God do this to us? God wants us to be comfortable. No, he doesn't. God never said you're going to be comfortable. God wants you to pursue him with everything that you have. And the logistical challenge that you're facing right now in any element of resource is to help you, is to shape you, is to sharpen you, is to bring you into the fulfillment of your identity. Sadly, those same complainers, so watch your complaining, watch your words, consecrate your words, those same complainers didn't make it to the promised land, because that whole generation had to go, because they were going to taint and taunt and just literally cause friction for the next generation. They were going to put them in limiting beliefs. So speaking to limiting beliefs, I hope you guys know by now that I think limiting beliefs are rooted in the liar, the father of lies. And ultimately, when we come into connection with those limiting beliefs and we raise our hand and say, this is my limiting belief, and I'm just going to walk out this limiting belief every day, and I'd really like to bust the limiting belief, but this is where I'm at. I have fear of success. I have fear of money. I have scarcity mentality. I have no time. All of these limiting beliefs. Well, your limiting belief means you have partnered with a lie and now you're walking in sin. That just is what it is. That's true. Think about it. What's your limiting belief? How is it rooted in sin? This is a message I've been sharing often from stage, and it's not an easy one. And so I'm not here to just like be like a Debbie Downer on your parade or rain or thunderstorm, but I am here to shake things up. And I believe as global messengers, we're all meant to shake things up. Your message shouldn't be frilly and fun and frolicky. Like, yeah, my brand might appear that way, but I'm bringing you in to tell you the truth. And truth is sharper than a two-edged sword. And swords do a lot of things, good and bad. And so we have to be conscientious again of our tongue and our thought life, which will then lead into this conversation of media and propaganda and this obstacle that you're bound and determined to face. And I want to encourage you through it. So media was a huge part of what infiltrated my spirit for decades and led me to a place of starvation spiritually. Also, I would say spiritual prostitution, in the sense of idolizing and wanting and craving and even presenting myself and my spirit out into the world in ways I never should have. But that was what was presented in media as a way the girl should work, a way the world does work, a way the girl should show up and what her body should look like and what she's good for. And I never knew about Azer Connecto. I never knew about like literally Adam and Eve, and that Eve is a full representation of Christ, no different than Adam. And we are beautifully and wonderfully made. And it's not about our body. And it's not about all of this propaganda that we're faced with to say that we're supposed to be or look or exist a certain way. Even as wives, even as mothers, I ran from that ideology because I'm like, I'm not going to be that type of wife. I'm not going to be that type of mom. I don't want to look like her, act like her, walk like her. And that her was ultimately what I realized later after coming into my faith, that her was the Proverbs 31 woman that I was rejecting. And that's the very woman that I aspire to be today. And so, man, what can media and propaganda do? The trials and tribulations of that can literally taint you for a long time. So your ear gates and your eye gates, you have to protect your mouth gate too. But we're talking about what we're seeing. There's going to be biases coming your way. You're going to be shadow banned, right? When you're saying or speaking about God and saying it confidently and speaking to Christianity and saying the Holy Spirit and Yeshua and Adonai and all of the words that are biblically sound words that are of God that he wants you to be saying out loud from wherever your microphone is, wherever your platform is, wherever your stage is, and to know that it's you're going to either say no matter what, like this is what I'm going to say and this is how I'm going to say it. You're not out to offend people, But Jesus wasn't here to offend people either. And did he offend people every day? He offended the religious. And so I might be offending you right now, and I can't say I'm sorry, because this is all truth. It's what we're going to be faced with as the church at large. And so media and propaganda are even pitting pastors against their churches. They're pitting Christians against pastors. They're pitting denominations up against one another. And that is not God's heart for his people. It's for us to come together. And so this happened biblically. We know this to be true. What was the media and propaganda going on? What was the word of mouth happening? What was the church doing at this time from a Pharisee and Sadducee's perspective? What was coming into people from the Roman Empire at that time? So much. So much. And they weren't premised in truth. And so it caused distraction. It caused overwhelm. It caused a muddied message. And that same exact thing is going to happen to you. Let me give you an example. I gave you a financial example from the logistical element. I also never alluded to this, but I could when I mentioned the confines of where you are logistically. It could be a traditional family unit that actually is not God's plan for family that needs to be broken. This was a part of my story. Now going into media and propaganda, one of those things that I want to share about is this idea of social media, right? That you have to be on social media. You have to have all of these millions of followers for your message to take root in someone's heart or for you to get any traction. And that's just not true. That is not true. Will God give you that? Is it helpful? Could it be your element of ministry? Maybe. Yeah, sure. God will use all things, but that isn't the end all be all. I mentioned media when it came to what I was looking at in MTV, porn, cyber sex, all of these places, what was coming at me on a consistent basis. This is no different in entrepreneurship today, where we will actually, I say this word of a spiritual prostitution, and I don't take it lightly, so I'm not doing it as a buzzword to like catch your attention, but aren't we doing that as entrepreneurs sometimes, as messengers? We are taking what is social media and what's being presented as to us, and we're saying, oh man, I should look like her, sound like him, do the thing that he's doing. That's my business plan. This is how that works, and this is where my message should show up. I should have an e-course, or I should be on LinkedIn, or I should be on TikTok. And literally, we're prostituting our gifts and talents in a multitude of places, and we aren't focused in on God. We're not focusing in on our creative nature connected to the Father. And therefore, we're just becoming another part of the noise maker society. And yeah, we might think that we're doing it for good because we're talking about Jesus, but are you overworking yourself? Have you created a plan that's not of God, that just looks good and other Christians seem to be having success in that realm? You guys, I'm literally raising my hand to all of these things. And so, as I said, I'm not here to offend. I'm here to storytell and to warn and to encourage and to support and to give you guys truth connected to that. And also some revelations personally that I hope the Holy Spirit can guide you out of. Maybe some comfort zones that you've created for yourself or some false narratives that you've created, because lies are from the enemy. Limiting beliefs are from the enemy. And the self-help industry would have you believe otherwise. So speaking to self-help, here's another one that I can raise my hand to. And it's this knowledge that I just actually came into. Not really, well, I've known it, but I've never thought about it in this way. Psychology and psychiatry. Truly the essence of mental health. I am a proponent of mental health. I've gone to therapy with Christian therapists for years ago. And I really think that it's critical. Emotional intelligence, all of these things are really profound. But God is higher. His ways are higher. And his freedom is so much more free than any contract you can sign with a therapist or anything that you can do when it comes to reading self-help books. And so psychology and psychiatry were only really formed within the last 150 years. One of the men who developed that, Freud, who you may be familiar with, I remember learning about him when I was in school, elementary, middle, maybe it was middle, could have been high school, also in college. And I went to a universalist class at one point, and this is all she was speaking to. So heaven forbid the liberalism that is occurring inside of public education. And I'm not saying that Christians can't be liberal or democratic or any of those things. Please don't hear me wrong when I say this, but I do believe that there are there's a truth, and the truth can set you free. And the way in which you walk out the truth connected to any sort of organization, this could be a denomination, this could be an affiliation to an association, a nonprofit, a corporate entity, whatever it is, we, at the end of the day, we have to respond to Christ about that. We have to answer to God on those affiliations and those identity markers that we're putting on our lapel, because at the end of the day, none of those matter. And Christ, who is in us, matters. And our relationship and our identity as a son or a daughter are what matters. So I was telling you a story about psychology, psychiatry. So Freud is a pedophilia. Okay. So we're learning about psychology from a pedophile. Great. This is awesome. Then we've got psychiatry. And I cannot remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but he was a Satanist, a cultist around Satanism. Great. And everyone is waving their self-help. I'm a self-help coach. No, you're not. Please stop saying that. You don't want anybody to help themselves, because when we help ourselves, we flander, we fail. Because we are fickle beings and we are not supposed to listen to our heart. Our heart can be a disaster zone if our heart has not been transformed and renewed by Christ. And so we're actually helping people find their identity in Christ, which is what identity coaching is. And yet a lot of people don't know what that is. So we're falling prey to what's the media, what's the propaganda around what it is that I'm even presenting to people. And to know that there are ways in which you can show up and be truly authentic to the Christ's word, to your word, to his word, and not muddy the message. Don't muddy the message based on what other people are saying, especially what the world is saying. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Present it out in a beautiful way. Present your fruit. People want your joy. They want your kindness. They want your peace. So if you are providing peace to people and you are helping them identify with their sonship and their daughtership in Christ, man, let's go after that. What's your message? And I know that everyone listening to this from an entrepreneurial lens, you're not only doing Christian coaching, Christian counseling. I don't even do that. Maybe you're a realtor. Maybe you are a finance guru and a wealth coach. Maybe you are a fashion designer. Maybe you're a product-based company. Whatever it is that you're doing, this goes for you too. What is your message and how are you presenting it to the world? The next thing that I will say, and we were talking about obstacles, is spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare, every single one of these, by the way, logistical challenges, Jesus had to walk everywhere he went. Okay, maybe ride, but ultimately, other than the donkey, and maybe a camel, maybe, I don't know. But logistical challenges, people complain about time, they complain about all of these resources. Think about God. It took him so much longer to get places. Jesus was like, all right, I'll be there in a couple weeks, right? We're all going to face that. Media and propaganda, holy cow, so much media and propaganda coming at Jesus every single day. And then, of course, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare connected to the enemy's desire for us to doubt, be discouraged, to dismantle our anointing, to be tempted by something else. And this is not new information. And the not today Satan, yes, that context, I'm brushing my hands right here, is like brushing off the enemy. And that it does matter. But again, if you've partnered with something so long, is it really your narrative that you've now created and you're blaming the enemy? You can blame, but at the end of the day, we also have ownership. As Christians, we have so much ownership that we need to take. When we bring our mess to the cross, nobody else can carry it for us. When we have our baptism in the Spirit, nobody else can go underwater on our behalf. Nobody else can speak our testimony the way that we can. That's why we're all meant to have a microphone of some sort. It doesn't necessarily have to look like this, be a podcast, be a stage. But I believe we all have stages. We have stages in our kitchen. We have stages in our coffee shop down the road. We have stages with our neighbors. We are always on stage and there's always a microphone, because what's coming out of our mouth is constantly being amplified to the ear of God. life or death, power of our tongue. And so, of course, spiritual warfare is going to be something we're constantly battling. And I think if and when we decide to face that head on, and we know that there are things like fasting, these are examples Jesus himself did, praying, being in a posture of worship, getting alone with God, our secret place, teaching, moving from one place to the next, casting out, casting down, right? Enemy. We have to understand that there's an opportunity and there are resources for us when it comes to spiritual warfare that we can apply every day. And so I encourage you, we actually have a fasting experience. I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but we've been doing the Fast Forward Challenge. God called me to do a corporate fast January 1st through the 3rd around Christmas time of last year. And when we were in the midst of that with about 200 other people, God was like, you're going to do this every month. And I am. It was a water fast. And so I was going after the water fast for the 1st through the 3rd of every month. And then I found out that I could go into early menopause. And I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'll avoid that. But I can do a one-day water fast and still 3 days and consecrate something else. So I've consecrated my words. I have other people who have consecrated worry. They've done social media fasts. They've done so many different things. You could come up with lots of different fasting options. And in fact, when you click the link that's in our show notes below, you can join the fast. It's completely open. It's completely free. You get a resource guide to how do I do a 3-day water fast if you've never done it. There's a bunch of references. Or how do you participate in this particular fast without doing 3-day water fast, doing a 1-day water fast. You could do liquid only. You could do smoothies. I don't care. It's not about that. It's the posture of your heart. God knows you. He knows what you need. And so don't make excuses, but know that this is an invitation. So inside of this fasting experience, we've seen wild breakthrough of marriages, of health, of people never going back to medicine simply because they have chosen to bring it, to take ownership and say, God, I will have this momentary spiritual warfare battle fought by only you because you are the strongest of us all. You give me the strength to keep going and to move this message to the masses. And so if Jesus himself was faced, you're going to be faced with it. And I am here to tell you that it is possible. All things are possible through Christ. You know this to be true, but I want you to magnify your message. I want it to be in a book. If you're ready to publish, you've got a synopsis that you've got written. You've gotten something that God has told you to talk about for years, and you've been putting it on the bookshelf of your brain. Can you please pull it out and put it on a real bookshelf? We are a unique publishing house with Fit Press, and the message in your movement is meant to bring more people on, not only onto bookshelves, but onto podcasts worldwide, on the stages worldwide. And we've been doing that for many years now. And it's been really amazing to see what God has done in the transformation of people's hearts as we do the hard work and we bring our message to the forefront and to the masses. And so I'm hopeful that you will always touch base with us first. And even if you have questions, we've got so many resources on like, what is the myths behind becoming a messenger, becoming an entrepreneur, even in the midst of entrepreneurship and building your business ecosystem in the process. I hope I didn't air too much of my own dirty laundry. And you're like, whoa, what in the world? These things have been overcome from the power of these weapons, these tools. And in the time frame that I'm in doubt, in the time frame where I get into the worry mentality or something resource-wise doesn't make sense, it's not computing. Nothing is going to compute accurately on this side of heaven. It's just not going to make sense because then we wouldn't trust God. We wouldn't have to fall into his arms. We wouldn't have to say, God, you are the God of multiplication and I want to be, do, and have your will here on earth. And so my being first exists in my identity. My doing is only derived from where you call me to go and what you call me to do. And my having is based on your blessing. It's based on your kindness and your generosity and your compassion. And it looks different than her and him and everybody else that I can compare myself to. And so I glorify you, God. We glorify you for sending us, for calling us your messengers, for making us and mobilizing us as your army. And ultimately, that's who you are as a listener, as a loyal listener to this movement. You are a fighter. You are standing up beside me saying, I'm willing to evangelize the good news no matter what warfare comes my way, no matter what obstacle I have to face. And I can assure you, not only will your calves look really good in the process of jumping those hurdles, you're going to have endurance to win the race because we are victors in Christ and he's already done the finished work on the cross that allows us to stand in this resurrection power and authority every single day I love you. Thanks for tuning in. And oh, by the way, we'll have a part three to this series. So be sure to follow up in 1, 2, and the 3 parts to being a messenger and the obstacles that you're going to face to develop a movement. Love you guys. Chat soon. Hey, y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you may even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out, and thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.